We bring the sacrifice into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer unto thee the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer unto thee the sacrifices of praise. The most gracious and most heavenly Father, it is in Jesus' name that we come on this morning, Father God, bringing the sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. And we want to thank you, Father God, for your house. And we are your house. And you abide and you reside in us. And so, Father God, we thank you for the blessed privilege and opportunity. And Father God, as we come, we want to confess every sin of omission, every sin of commission, anywhere that we have come short of your glory, short of your honor, and short of your praise. Thank you, Father. We embrace the gifts of a brand new day, new mercies we see, Father God, and we thank you for it. Father, we are asking your blessings upon our service on today, Father God, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength, O Lord, our Redeemer. Father, we pray for our listening audience around the globe, Father God, that you would help them, that you would bless them, Father God, and that they will not be a hearer. You would anoint their ears to hear and their hearts to receive, and they will not be a hearer only, but a doer of your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power, both now and forever. And our soul says amen, amen, and amen. We want to bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Top of the morning to you. Welcome back to the Lifeway Jesus Kingdom Ministries Mentoring Kingdom Leadership, where Jesus Christ is King and Jesus Christ is Lord. I am Apostle Dr. Alfreda. Amen. It is my pleasure to serve in the Lord's kingdom. We want to thank God for this platform. Amen. It affords us the opportunity to meet here every morning for a spiritual breakfast for champions. Amen. And as much as there is no time and distance in the spirit, you have indeed come to the right place at the right time. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. So have a seat at the breakfast table. Amen. Enjoy the meal. Amen. Hallelujah. Continue to come back. And also bring somebody else with you. Amen. Glory be to God. It's enough to go around. Amen. For everybody. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Well, this week, amen, we want to take a look, amen, at Brother Saul. Brother Saul, Brother Saul, amen, glory be to God. And we want to see, amen, what the Lord had to say through his life and the choices that he made and how this lines up, amen, with our lifestyle when it comes to obeying or disobeying God. Amen and amen. So today we want to look in 1 Samuel chapter number 15. And I'm going to begin reading in your hearing. Amen. Starting in verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart. Get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For he showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou come to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and have not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Samuel said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thy own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then did thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. And the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he have also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord have rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord have rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and have given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeon of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. And this is the word, the blessed word of God for the blessed people of God. Amen and amen. What a story. What a story. What a story. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It's going to take us all week to unpack this one. Amen. Glory be to God. But what a story, beloved. Amen. Hallelujah. On obedience. On obedience. Amen. Here we see Saul's life as a pure demonstration of the power of obedience and the consequences of disobedience. Glory be to God. The theme also that we want to focus on this week, amen, as we're talking about obedience, beloved. Truth obeyed produces fruit that remains. Write that down today. Amen. I want you to focus in on that. Amen. Glory be to God. The truth, when truth is obeyed, when we walk in obedience to the Lord, it produces fruit that remains. In Jesus' name. So, beloved, amen, we see here, glory be to God, where God had given strict instructions. Amen. He made it plain. There was no ambiguity here. Amen. The Lord had already told them that he wanted Saul to send Saul on a mission. Glory be to God. And he had commanded him to wipe out the Amalekites. Now, beloved, as we continue to study on this, amen, we see here where the Amalekites, amen, the descendants of the Amalekites, amen, was very, very, very important, amen, with future events. And God was trying to wipe out, amen, he was trying to blow on the residue. He's trying to blow on the residue. We'll find out even when it came to Queen Esther. Glory be to God. and how the Israelites was being wiped out, or they wanted to wipe them out when Haman wanted to, amen, that Agag, descendants of Agag, has something to do with that conspiracy. See, so when God is telling you something today, amen, it's because he's trying to take care of something for tomorrow. But see, God has all wisdom. God has all knowledge. God is the only one that knows what tomorrow is going to look like. As bad as the psychics want to be able to tell you, they want to break it down, but they can only guess because they only see in part. God is the only one with all of the information. So when God is telling you something today, it's not to take something away from you. It's not to throw you under the bus. It's not to make you suffer, but God, being that he is in your best interest, is trying to bless your tomorrow and your generation and your prosperity. Posterity and prosperity. He's looking out for you. He's looking out for your children, your grandchildren, generations and generations to come. See? And this is why when we come before God, beloved, we have to stand and ask God to forgive some of our foreparents who died in pure disobedience. See? And the consequences of that disobedience trickling down from generation to generation to generation. Glory be to God. So the Amalekites were a band of guerrilla terrorists. They led by attacking other nations and carrying off their wealth and their families. They had been the first to attack the Israelites as they had entered the promised land. And they continued to raid Israelite camps at every opportunity. God knew that the Israelites could never live peacefully in the promised land as long as the Amalekites exist. Got to be a friend to your friend and an enemy to your enemies. God knew it wasn't going to happen. God was trying to clear the air. God was trying to make peace. God was trying to set the stage up. Glory be to God. But when we start questioning God and got to get an answer for every little thing that God instructs us to do, God does not tell us everything he knows. We couldn't handle it if he did. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God also knew that their corrupt, idolatrous religious practices threatened Israel's relationship with him. See, he already knew it. They're bringing in all those idols. He already knew it. God was trying to, let me tell you something. God wants to give you the best of everything. And the only way to protect the Israelites' body and soul was to utterly destroy the people of this warlike nation and all their possessions, including their idols. So God said, just get rid of it. Just take this. Just clean house. Clean the house. Glory be to God. Well, beloved, amen, hallelujah, as unfortunately, amen, as we continue to read down here, glory be to God, in 1 Samuel 15, we're starting at 15, we'll probably back up, amen, a little bit later on this week, amen, to 13 and 14, amen. So Saul, amen, did it his way. His way. Beloved, let me say this. God has a will, God has a time, and God has a way. God told Saul what to do and told Saul how to do it. Saul heard God's instruction through the man of God, Samuel, on what to do, but he thought he would do it his own way. Oh, my God, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Saul and his men did not destroy all the plunder from the battle as God had commanded them to do. God told them over here in verse number 3, he says, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. He said, this clean house, this clean, this clean the house. This is a termination, extermination, all right? That's what God told them to do. That's plain. You know, that didn't leave any, you know, God didn't give them half instructions. He gave them full instructions, and it was very plain. There was nothing complicated about understanding that. Glory be to God. But they did not do it. The law of devoting something, setting it aside entirely for destruction, was well known to the Israelites. Anything under God's ban was to be completely destroyed. This was set up in order to prevent idolatry from taking hold in Israel, because many of the valuables were idols. To break this law was punishable by death, and it showed disrespect and disregard for God because it directly violated one of his commands. Beloved, when we gloss over sin in order to protect what we have or for material gain, we aren't being shrewd. We are disobeying God, Beloved, selective obedience is just another form of disobedience. You cannot compromise sin. You cannot compromise obedience. God said, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. You can't do part of that and take it over here and try to do all of that. And you trying to piece your, you trying to piece your obedience. You trying to piece obedience like a jigsaw puzzle. You trying to make your own obedience. Surely God is going to be pleased with this because I did that right and I did that right and I did that right. Okay. But you took part of that. Glory be to God. You didn't fully obey God. You didn't fully obey God. Well, I gave God a part of my offering. I gave God a little bit of my tithe. Okay. But God, no. Because I took the tithe and I went over here and I did that with it. But I was still helping somebody. Huh? Oh, Father God, help us. Oh, Father God, help us. Help us, Father. When God said he regretted that he made Saul king, a lot of people ask this one here. Well, did God make a mistake? Did God make a mistake? Well, no, God don't make no mistakes. God don't make no mistakes. Verse number 11 says, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and have not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Thank God for godly leaders. But a leader can't make the people do right. Samuel was a real man of God. Samuel didn't play. Oh, Samuel didn't play, baby. Mm-mm. Samuel was dedicated to the Lord. Matter of fact, I have to do some more research and find out what mistake, if any, did Samuel even make. I don't even think the Bible records Samuel's mistakes. Samuel was sold out. Thank God for godly leaders. And Samuel cried all night for Saul because he knew that Saul had blew it. But he couldn't make Saul do. You can't make nobody do nothing. You can't make the people obey. Saul chose to disobey. And this is why God said, amen, that he had regretted making him king. God's comment was an expression of sorrow, not an admission of error. Because God does not make any mistakes. It was one of sorrow. God's heart was broken. The same way we break God's heart today, every time we outright disobey him, step on his word, step on his promises, step on his commands, like it don't mean nothing to us, we grieve God the same way. That's why the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. We break God's heart the same way. God has a heart, beloved. And it's full of love for us. Amen. Hallelujah. And when we just step and trample over God's commandments and take no regard for it, don't even think about it twice, do what we want to do because we think we big enough to do it. Because we got life today. I want to say today to do it. It breaks God's heart the same way. God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. God did not change his mind. Because our God, beloved, amen, he is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He hadn't changed his mind. Ever. He changed his way of relating to Saul when Saul changed. See, when Saul changed, God changed. He changed the way he related to him. Ah. Saul's heart no longer belonged to God, but to his own interests. That's why the Lord tells us to love him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. That's why the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, he said, I have something against thee. You have left your first love. You don't love me no more. You used to love me. Love. That's why. Who sang that song? Love don't live here anymore. Love don't live here anymore. And this is what happened here, beloved, with Saul. And then to boot. Check Saul out. So Samuel cried all night for Saul because he realized that Saul had made a gross error. Verse 12 says, and when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and is going about and passed on and going down to Gilgad. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Saul had built a monument in honor of himself. I call it spiritual arrogance, pride, because in Saul's eye, he really thought that he had really did something. Hey, because he had obeyed part of what God told him to do. Part of what God told him to do. What a contrast to Moses and Joshua, who gave all the credit to God. Saul didn't give all the credit to God. Saul took part of the credit for himself. God will not share his glory with another. I don't care what your name is. Awards and accolades feel good, but we must maintain an honest estimate of ourselves. We can be thankful for what we accomplish, but we must also recognize God's role in helping us. So let's just look at this, glory be to God, and we may have to close here on today. So, beloved, the Bible tells us when Samuel approached Saul, Father Samuel, how you doing? Yeah, okay. Y'all know how, I learned years ago. I had some Jewish people, amen, and we worked in the same building, and they pulled me to the side one day. And they said, Alfreda, they said, you're a nice lady. They said, but you got to stay away from them fast talkers. Because I had some people that, you know, we was doing business together, and they was fast talkers. And they said, you got to beware of fast talkers. These were Jewish men, old, rich Jewish men trying to school me. I thank God for them. And I could see Saul now doing one, running them fast motions on Samuel. Father Samuel. Because you told me yeah. And I went, yeah, and I tell you, yeah, we did what the Lord told us to do. Yeah, we went, we cleaned house. Yeah, I'll tell you, we wiped them out, boy. It's blood everywhere. And I'm sure he went to rattling. And Saul, amen. And Samuel at the right moment, he said, okay, all right, uh-huh. He said, okay. And you performed the commandment of the Lord. Yeah, we did it. Yeah, we did it. We cleaned house. Then Samuel said, well, wait a minute. He said, wait a minute. I hear something. He said, if you cleaned house and you killed the animals, the asses, amen, and everything like the Lord told you to do, he said, well, what's this the bleating of the sheep in my ears? And he said, what's all this noise in the background? What's this I hear? Huh? This is how Samuel's talking to Saul. And, oh, yeah. Well, you know, Father Samuel, they brought the, we just kept the best. You know what I mean? We killed the little skinny sheep and skinny asses and, you know, the ones that looked a little malformed. But, you know, we kept the best of the best. We wasn't going to give the best away. Glory be to God. Because we're going to take that and, you know, we're going to make a sacrifice to the Lord. But you best believe me, we destroyed everything else. We destroyed everything else. We just kept the best. Woo! Ah. My God. Father God, help us. He was wrong either way you look at it, beloved, but if you was going to do anything, amen, or glory be to God, you would have kept maybe some of the crumbs on the table. You would have given God the best. If your heart really was right, I mean, you're still wrong because you're still in disobedience, but seem like you would have given God the best. We don't want to give God the best. We don't want to give God the first fruits. We want to keep that for ourselves. I'm going to keep this for me, and I'm going to give that to the Lord. What? Yeah, I'm going to keep this, and I'm going to give that to the Lord. Ah, Father God, help us. Saul thought he had won a great victory over the Amalekites, but God saw it as a great failure because Saul had disobeyed him, and then he lied to Samuel about the results of the battle. You see how one sin leads to another sin? Liar, liar, pants on fire. That's why they say, if you lie, you steal. If you steal, you lie. Because one sin, amen, sin is contagious. See, it just spreads. Saul may have thought his lie wouldn't be detected like most of us do. Now, just a little white lie. You know, ain't nobody going, nah, baby. No such thing as little white lie. All unrighteousness is sin. Or that what he did was not wrong. See, in our mindset, beloved, this is why it is so important for God to show us ourselves as he sees us. Because, beloved, of our sinful nature, when we sin, we compromise and we try to justify that what we did was not a sin. What the other person did was a sin. But surely what we didn't do was sin, because, and we have all of our different reasons why God is not going to chalk that up as sin in our own eyesight. You see why God has to speak to you? Because you're rejecting everybody else. You're rejecting the people that love you. You're rejecting your pastors. You're rejecting these people. You don't want to hear it. Oh, they just jealous. They just mad. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And we go down our list, and, you know, God knows my heart. Yeah, God knows your heart. That's the problem. That is the problem. Because the heart is desperately wicked. God does know your heart. The question is, what does God know? Beloved, let me tell you something. Glory be to God. Amen. We have to compare our lives, our hearts, and our decision with the word of God. That's what we comparing it to. It is unwise to compare ourselves one to another. But we ought to be in that book, beloved. Amen. Hallelujah. Like with a magnifying glass and see what thus saith the Lord. And when we find ourselves in there and we are in error, we need to come, amen, and repent and mean it. But not Saul. Not Saul. Saul was deceiving himself. He was deceiving himself. I might have to close on that scripture there. Okay, write this scripture down in your notes. James chapter 1, verse 22. I'm going to read it in your hearing. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Somebody underline the word deceiving. Highlight that. That's your homework assignment for the day. Deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. That person will be blessed. But when you hear God and you don't obey God, beloved, You're not deceiving God. Saul wasn't deceiving God. Saul wasn't deceiving Samuel. Saul was deceiving himself. You can't play God. That's why he tells us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You cannot twist God's hand to bless you. You can't play God. So you think you're playing God, but you're playing yourself. And this is where, beloved, amen, Saul was, unfortunately. Dishonest people soon begin to believe the lies they construct around themselves. You believe your own lies. Then they lose the ability to tell the difference between truth and lies. By believing your own lies, you deceive yourself. You will alienate yourself from God, and you will lose credibility in all your relationships. In the long run, honesty wins out, even when it is inconvenient or unflattering. There is nothing like the truth. The truth will set you free. The truth might make you miserable at first, but it's going to make you free. And beloved, we see even with this, even with the gross error that Saul made and not obeying God, he still could have got it right. He still could have got it right. But he didn't. And as we pick up here on tomorrow, beloved, we see it got much worse before it got better. And why does God even put these stories in the Bible? To help me and to help you? To help me and help you. Number one, hopefully, amen, that we don't go that far out, that we learn obedience, because if we love God, we will obey God. If God said it, we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to help us to do it. Amen. Glory be to God, because the God is never going to give you an instruction that you cannot fulfill. The Holy Spirit is there to lead you, to guide you, instruct you, amen, and to help you. He is the helper. See, but the Holy Spirit cannot help you if you don't have a will to be helped. See, so it comes back on us. It don't come back on God. It comes back on us. But even when you mess up, regardless of how gross it is, beloved, he said, if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Truth obeyed produces fruit that remains. We'll go into detail about that a little bit further, beloved. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I want us, hallelujah, the key points this morning is that partial obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. And I really would like for you to focus and meditate and let the Holy Spirit speak on to you and to your heart, amen, about deceit and deceiving yourself. Lord, am I living a life of deceit? Am I deceiving myself? Okay. I'm really finished because I'm not out of words, but I'm out of time. Okay. All right. One more scripture I want you to write down. Isaiah chapter number 5 and verse number 20. This is what it says. 20 and 21. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. This is where Brother Saul was. This is where he was. Boy, did he pay a heavy price. He paid a heavy price. Some of us are paying prices right now for choices that we have made that was completely outside of the will of God. Completely outside. I mean, it was intentional. You just thought it would be okay. You just thought that you would have God's approval. You thought that God would modify his word for you because this, because you've been faithful, because this, because that, because this, because that. I want to, adjure you today by the mercies of God that you will find place in your heart to ask God to forgive you. If you do not, that's for those of you, amen, who know Jesus, but you're living in sin. I don't care what it is. It might not even have been something big. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Whatever it was that God told you to do that you didn't do yet, and you still waiting for tomorrow to get it done. How dare you? You're telling God that you know better than him. What Saul was telling God that he knew better than him. I ain't got to do all of this. Surely we can say the best of the best is. Oh, really? So you know better than me? Come on now. It's time to clean house. And for those of you who do not know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of your sins, I don't know what you're waiting for. I don't know what you're waiting for. I don't know how you even went this long. Come on. Give the Lord your life. Give the Lord your life. Glory be to God. All you have to do is say it and mean it. Say it and mean it. Father, forgive me for all of my sins. I confess my sins before you. I ask that you would forgive me. I ask that you would cleanse me. I ask that you would save my soul. I open up my heart. I open up my mouth. I accept, I acknowledge, and I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Please be my God, be my Lord, be my friend. Lead me and guide me and direct me and the way I should go for the balance of the days of my life. Thank you for erasing my name out of the book of death. And my name is confirmed in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah. That's all you got to do. Amen and amen. We're going to pick up here tomorrow by the grace of God. Amen. We want to go a little bit deeper with Saul. We want to go a little bit deeper with Saul. We want to, you know, go do a little forensic science tomorrow and see what was really in Saul's head. What was in Saul's heart? What was in Saul's mind that caused him to even go this far? And God had to go that far with Saul because Saul went that far with God. Ooh, my God, Sookie. That's why God says, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. But Saul didn't draw nigh to God. He went backwards. He went backwards. Oh, Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you. God, we want to say thank you for the Bible that this gives us stories that, you know, we say, why would God put this in the Bible? That's because we could all learn something. God, we're not here to judge Saul. But we're here to examine our own lives in correlation to what Saul's behavior was. Are we just as guilty as he is? Are we in partial obedience? When you told us to do this, but we only do a part of it or a little bit of it. And think that you ought to be happy. With what we did. Father God, forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. We're godly sorry. We're godly sorry. Father God, this morning, we say, ouch. We say, ouch, Father God. Father God, show us our hearts. Show us ourselves as you see us, the areas of our lives where we have deceived ourselves because we've been lying to ourselves, telling ourselves it's okay when it ain't okay. Anything that violates your word is not okay. I don't care how we sugarcoat it. We don't want to go to hell with the sugar. Oh, Father God, help us. Help us, and thank you for doing so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, there it is. Meet us at the altar of prayer today. Amen. At 12 o'clock, back at 9 o'clock. Amen. And Lord's willing, we'll pick back up here tomorrow. Amen. In Jesus' name. If you gave your life to Christ, we want to say welcome. Welcome. We have some. Our audience has expanded. And let me see right now. I was looking at this last night. In China, the numbers are going up. Amen. Our brothers and sisters in China, welcome, welcome, welcome. Amen. In Spain, the United Kingdom, South Korea, and Japan. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please continue to come back. Amen. As we continue to grow together and get this thing right once and for all. Get this thing right once for all. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I heard somebody say on yesterday, amen, hallelujah, that we can't, amen, do, we can't do, live right. Amen. They was trying to justify. Matter of fact, I'm going to send them a letter because he was really giving people a license to sin. You can't live right, amen, without Jesus. No, you can't live right without Jesus, but with Jesus, you can. Flip it over and tell the whole truth. Huh? We could do all things through Christ. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. No, you can't do it if you're going to leave Christ out. It can't be done. But with him and through him, it's in him we move and him we live and him we have our being. Give him a shout out today to my dear mother, Bishop, the Bishop, Bishop Evelyn Westfield. Amen. And her birthday on today. Amen. And a shout out to her. Amen. And to God be all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Amen. Father God, meet us at the altar of prayer. Bless the prayer warriors as they come. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Father God, as we go out today, stay in the day, whatever we do today, Father God, in Jesus' name, help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time. We cancel bad news, tears, and sorrow, and we say thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus Christ. Father God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you. We want to bind absolutely every spirit of retaliation. We want to seal this prayer right now by the word, by the blood, by the spirit. Father God, in Jesus' name, bless the children today. We know most of them are out of school today, Father, for the holiday, for the Jewish holiday. Bless them. Keep them, Father. We pray for the children day and night, all around the world, not just in the U.S., all around the world. We pray for the children, and we pray for your people. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We seal this word, amen, by the, we seal this message this morning by the word, by the blood, by the spirit. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Now unto him was able to keep you from falling and to present your faults before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and dominion. Amen. Satan is defeated. Darkness is dispelled. And Jesus Christ is Lord. My pleasure to serve in the Lord's kingdom on today. Amen. Everybody have a good one. Pastor Alfreda. Amen. Signing out. Love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. Love you, love you.
Lord, I thank you for forgiving me over and over. Over again, yeah. I'm calling on you, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I'm down on my knees. Say, call on you no matter the hour. Lord, I'm in need. I've been messing up, done lost my house, done lost my
my job, why walking out? These church folks say they my friends, but I'm all they talk about. I've been doing wrong, I'm so sorry. Lord, please forgive me. We confess to him, he'll remove all wickedness. The blood from your son will wash me from my sins. Clean this house from the inside out. Restore me. Take away my business doing it, no church or no Bible study ain't been in my word. Now I know better than this, can't live my life in sin. We confess to him, he'll remove all wickedness. The blood from your son will wash me from my sins. Clean this house.
The best cleaner alive. Every now and then we all go through a little strife. But if you let him, he will change your life. Now I can hear you saying that life's been rough. Oh yeah, you've been going through a whole lot of stuff. God specializes.